Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
It's Yay! The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good afternoon on this Monday afternoon. How are you? You survived all the bangers and fireworks and all that. Pets all over the country were barking and meowing and cowering into corners. It's not a nice time for them. They'll be delighted to see the back of Halloween. And of course, now that we've seen the back of Halloween, it's time to think about the C word. Yes, Christmas. And I believe there's a campaign ongoing on social media for people to put up their decorations as in from now, as in from the 1st of November, which was yesterday. Today's the 2nd. Now, that is ludicrous. I just want to stop you right there before you do anything. And think about it. Think this through. If perhaps you took them on their advice and put up your Christmas decorations and trees now, think about it, right? It's the 1st of November. Christmas Day isn't until the 25th of December. You're supposed to leave the decorations up until the 6th of January. So you're talking all of November, all of December, and a week of January. That's, you know, 8, 9, 10 weeks of decorations. Now, when they go up first, they're all sparkly and lovely, and the trees in the corner, that lovely fresh Christmas tree smell, and it's all great, and you light the fire, and it's all very Christmassy. And that lasts for about 3 or 4 weeks. It's all fine. Next thing, the needles start falling off the trees, and the baubles start to break because the cat's playing with them and playing football with them and breaking them, and the three-year-old is grabbing them and all that sort of thing. And then it all begins to look a little bit messy, doesn't it? And you're wishing that you probably didn't put it up at the 1st of November and maybe left it till the 8th of December like you usually do. And maybe I'm being a Scrooge. And maybe it's the right thing to do because this year is like no other year in any of our lives. So usual traditions don't apply, do they? Like there was no trick-or-treating on Saturday night in the main. So if the tradition is to put the Christmas tree up and the decorations up on the 8th of December, that's a normal year. But this, as you well know, is no normal year. So maybe go ahead and put up your decorations. As in from now, let me know how you get on. But I just think you'd tire them. You'd tire them. And then by just, God, like you're into December there and you go, oh, I have to look at this thing for another month and then a week into January. And you're just going, no, no. Let me know. Let me know. If you've put up your decorations. I'd say there's very few people who have. Aoife's been on. She says, just a short introduction. She's been on to Ray at RTE.ie. My name is Aoife and I was born in Ballyshannon, Donegal, 1961. I came to Johannesburg, South Africa with my parents and sister in 1963. As children, we only travelled to Ireland once, but fortunately as adults, my sister Niamh and I have travelled to Ireland often. Last year, myself, my husband and Niamh had a holiday in Ireland and we did a road trip through the Wild Atlantic Way. And that's when I got connected to RTE1. As we listened in the car as we drove, from our return to South Africa, I started to listen to RTE Radio 1 as much as I could. And I have to say that it's been a lifesaver during our lockdown in South Africa. I was able to keep abreast with the lockdown in Ireland and enjoyed a lot of the good crack, especially with you and Joe Duffy. I've been listening to the virtual launch of your book today and I would really like to buy a copy. I've looked on Amazon but don't see that it's there. Could I possibly buy a copy via you, RTE, please? Well, you could go on to easons.ie. Is it easons.ie? I better get the correct website address and you'd get it there, Aoife, and I'm sure they would send it out to you in South Africa. Thanks for your wonderful shows. I so look forward to listening every day. That's Aoife in Johannesburg in South Africa. It's out there. We launched it on Thursday and we're really excited. And I'd forgotten about it because Saturday was a busy day. We did a dry run for the Den. It's happening now. We're on the cover of the RT Guide. It's real. So there's no turning back now. There's no walking away from it. And we were in studio on Saturday to do a technical run through. And we spoke to people on Zoom and various things. And we laughed a lot, which was great. And hopefully you'll be laughing when you tune in 6:30 next Sunday. But as a result, I wasn't thinking about the book. And then we were in St. Organ yesterday and Tom wanted a Diary of a Wimpy Kid. So we were going towards book station. And then it dawned on me, oh, the book. So I looked in the window, hoping it'd be in the window. It wasn't in the window. Went in, hope you're on the shelf. It wasn't on the shelf. And the other way, a lot of bookshops have that table where they've all the books stacked. I was looking and looking and looking and must be a mistake. I'll have to get on to the people in HarperCollins. They don't have any books in book station in Stillorgan. And eventually there was one there, right down on the table itself. And it was surrounded by piles of other books, so you couldn't see it. So I, a little bit cheekily, took it up and put it on top of one of the other stacks. And we were walking around doing our thing. And then as I came back around, there was a woman and she was reading the book. And I sort of was there, socially distanced, masks on, all that sort of thing. And I said, "Very good book." And she turned around and she laughed. And we had a chat. She was saying she was buying it for a sister of hers in England. And she loved the launch and thought it was going to be a great book. And I reassured her that it was a very good book. And not only was it a good book, but by buying it, she was supporting Laura Lynn. So we had that lovely chat. And her name was Patricia. What I figured out, she had bought the last book. So that means it's selling well, which is exciting. But be warned, it is selling well. So if you haven't got your copy of A Page from My Life, get to it. Get to it now. And Aoife, we'll figure that out for you. It's Easons.com. There you go. And Micheál O'Cronin has been on. Now, you have to stay with me on this one because it's a bit convoluted. I'll do my best to make it accessible. So when RT first broadcast the Sunday game on Sunday the 8th of July 1979, presented by Jim Carney, incidentally, it started at 8 o'clock in the evening with no live games in those days, apart from All-Ireland semi-finals and finals. The theme music used in the Sunday game is called Jägerlatin, which means hunter's yarns in German, and was composed by German-born James Last, who died in Florida in 2015, aged 86. Thanks, Micheál. There was an outcry from the viewing public when the theme music was dropped by RT and replaced between 2004 and 2008, I didn't know that, with some other theme music. The result being they were forced to bring back the James Last theme music, but when it came back, it was a different version of the Jägerlatin. I don't remember any outcry then. Perhaps viewers didn't spot the difference. But Ray, there is a difference. So my plea is I want the Ray Darcy Show theme, that's team and not theme, to change the Sunday game theme music to the Ray Darcy Show All-Ireland Quiz theme tune, which is the correct Sunday game theme tune. There's a lot of teams and themes and THs there. I think I know what you mean, Micheál. This is the real McCoy is what you're saying. Yay! Any excuse. All together now. Hey! Ho! Yay! I will get on to our colleagues in sport, post-haste, Micheál O'Cronin. And I would say to him, we have the correct theme tune to the Sunday game. It's a live version that I found on YouTube. And it took me a long time, Micheál. I was looking and looking and looking. And I found other versions and they were a bit lazy. Not lazy, but they lacked energy. And the minute I heard that, I thought, that's the one. Because you've all that live energy in it and people chanting and all that sort of thing. So it gives that impression of a packed Croke Park on All-Ireland Day. Anyway, we'll get on to Declan Bennett. He's the head man over there and say, we have it. You can have it if you want it. Micheál insists. Now, Paddy Ennis has been on to RT.ie, busy over the weekend. I caught the end of one of your afternoon shows a couple of weeks ago about someone in Limerick who was getting their house refurbished on the RTE show with Baz Ashmawe. DIYSOS. I understand this little person is a big fan of Bob Marley. I have a portrait of him which my daughter painted for me when she was 14, which I would like to donate to the girl. My daughter went on to do a degree in fine art in Sligo DIT. She is currently working as an artist in Dublin and is employed by Trinity College as front of house manager in the Lear Academy. Her name is Kathleen, Kat for short, Ennis. I can arrange to have it posted to you in RT if that's okay. That's a lovely gesture, Paddy. And I know why you put the second paragraph in there, just to let us know that your daughter is a talented artist, that it wasn't just any portrait of Bob Marley. It was a portrait by a person who could, you know, use a paintbrush. The little girl in question was Amy. And we spoke to her mother, Sharon, on that day. We had Baz in as well, just before the first DIY SOS. And its run is finished and people are going to miss that on a Sunday evening. We're replacing it. So DIY SOS steps out and the Den steps in. But it's got a hugely positive reaction and lovely, warm and sense of community and all that sort of thing. So I tell you what, we're going to contact Sharon, who's Amy's mother, and ask her, would Amy like a portrait of Bob Marley for her. They build a room outside for her where she could entertain her friends. That'd be the perfect home for that. So thanks, Paddy Ennis. Thank you for that. And while we're on art and all that sort of thing, got a lovely little package from Cara Dunn, who tells us she just launched a design business called Cara Luna Designs, a small Irish design studio which values eco-friendliness, inclusivity and non-binary representation at its heart. And she sent us in loads of things, a face mask, which is lovely, a lovely bag of, is it heather? Not heather, what is it?
Lavender
scented thingamajigs there. And then a selection of her cards, which are lovely. Sending lockdown love. And there are various different characters and permutations of people on the cover of those cards, depending on who you're sending it to and the message you want to send. And they're lovely. So, Cara Dunn, thank you very much. And you can find out more about that at caralunadesigns.com. caralunadesigns.com. This will brighten up your day. Did you see this? It'll be all over the papers tomorrow. There was a train accident just outside Rotterdam in Holland, and it broke through a barrier which was supposed to stop it. You know those barriers at the end of the line? But whatever happened, the train broke through it. Now, there was no passengers on it, just the driver. And it went up into the air and landed on the tail of a whale. Now, not a real whale. It was a sculpture of a tail of a whale. It's a headline writer's dream, because they're writing them already. What a fluke! Dutch whale tail sculpture catches train. Fluke, you see, because fluke is the name of a whale's tail. See, get it? It's also, yeah, you know, you get it. Yeah. Here's another thing. What a coincidence! The sculpture is called "Saved by the Whale's Tail," which the train was, and the train driver. And it's there, pictures of that in the papers tomorrow. Watch out for that. While we're on seagoing animals, do you know that baby shark? Yeah, you do. You must have heard it by now. Yeah, you do, you do. Baby shark. Thank you very much. The most watched video on YouTube ever. Guess how many? Guess, you'd never guess it. Nearly one view for every person on Earth. Nearly, when I say it's about, you know, it's a billion out, but 7.04 billion views of that on YouTube. That's mind-blowing, isn't it? It edges past Despacito, the 2017 single by Puerto Rican pop star Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee. But just in case you don't know about it, the original writer of that song, the Baby Shark thing, it's unclear. It was a nursery rhyme, but it came to global phenomenon then, about 2 or 3 years ago, when it was recorded by 10-year-old Korean-American singer Hope Segoin, and it produced by educational company Pink Fong, and accompanied by dance moves, you know, where you pretend you're the baby shark and then the granny shark and the daddy shark and all that sort of thing. It reached number 6 in the UK singles charts and number 32 in the US. So somebody's making money out of it with 7.04 billion views. Now, let's see what you're saying on the trees and the decorations. And my tree is now in situ awaiting decoration. It will remain until Easter, if necessary, and will never lose its lustre. I never cease to enjoy its beauty, says Mary Hannon. Wow, 10 weeks of lovely twinkling Christmas lights in the middle of a miserable pandemic. How awful. Get them up, says John. Get them up. That's a great tagline, isn't it? Don't be such a Grinch. Get the trees up. Get the decorations out. Let's bring a little cheer in to end a dreadful year. I was just saying, just think it through. Just think it through. We've had very little to look forward to this year. Let's keep with one tradition and not put up our Christmas trees until December. We love that special time of the year. So let's keep it special, says John and Talla. It's going to drive the neighbours mad, as the children will be clamouring to put their tree up too. We need the additional cheer this year, says Teresa. We put up our Christmas tree last night. That's Tony, but he's a commercial concern. It's Tony from Lipton's in Clonus. Sure, the pubs are closed. What else would you be at? On a serious note, anything to brighten up these dreary COVID-driven days. All the best and well done. The book launched. Oh, thanks very much, Tony. Agree with you, Ray. Christmas decorations usually go up at the beginning of December. I have noticed in past years, those who put their tree up at the end of November take them down too early. They should be left up until Little Christmas, which is the 6th of December. That's Marade. And Maria says, you can also buy the book, Page My Life Through Book Depository. They do free worldwide shipping. So that's for Aoife in Johannesburg. So bookdepository.com, Aoife. You'll be able to get your hands on that page from My Life. 5155 on radio.rt.ie. I better tell you about our quiz of today. Hello? Hello? Let's see. Is this... Yes! It's going to be one of those days, lads. You know the deal. Today is the 2nd of November. And we have cobbled together 10 questions on this day from over the years, over the centuries, over the decades. Questions about the major news stories, big scientific breakthroughs, births, deaths, TV programmes, songs, the whole lot. We need two people to answer 5 questions each after 4 o'clock. And our prize today, well, one lucky listener and a guest will win a 2-night stay at the K Club with breakfast on both mornings, plus 3 hours and lunch in the new K Golf World, a sophisticated suite of state-of-the-art standalone golf simulators. Woo, woo! With 8 spacious and high-tech bays, and backed with the exceptional 5-star service and attention to detail of the K Club. As in 5-star service and attention to detail of the K Club. You can find out all about their simulators and everything else at the K Club at kgolfworld.ie. kgolfworld.ie. So that's a great prize. If you want to be involved and try and win that, you have to answer our qualifying question, which is this. Ireland lost to France in their final Six Nations rugby game this weekend. In what city was the match played? So Ireland lost to France in their final Six Nations rugby game this weekend. In what city was the match played? 1850 715900. That's 1850 715900. Good luck with that. And we could be talking to you just after 4 o'clock. Good afternoon. Harry Styles. Watermelon Sugar. And that's one of the songs of 2020. Can we start talking about songs of 2020? Yeah, it's fine. It's November. Yeah, it's nearly the end of the year. Maybe as a compromise, we could all put up our fairy lights outside. Now, that's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea at all. I might go along with that. I'd have to discuss it with my family, of course, first. When James Last played that tune in Tralee many, many years ago, he was stunned when the crowd all sang, hummed along with the orchestra. It was the same year the dome blew down. I remember that, move at somewhere. That move into the hotel, didn't they? Then there was the other year where poor Marty Whelan had to compete with some ABBA tribute band because the sound was bleeding in from Denny Street. Is that the name of Denny Street? Just a wee note, you mentioned Head of Sport and RTÉ. He's Declan McBennett. You and the GAA quiz with that famous signature tune is what I'll remember of this COVID spell. I used to turn it up high and fill up with tears. Thank you. Thanks for making me cry. Is that what you're saying? Now, we spotted a letter to the Irish Times this morning from Irene Nell in Tuam in County Galway. And Irene's on the line. How are you doing, Irene?
I'm good, Ray. How are you? I did not expect this, though.
Well, I have to admit something now. This is a bit of a confession. But my wife spotted your letter. And the reason she spotted it is that she spots anything with the word knitting in it now from about 100 metres.
Because
it's her current obsession. Now, and she's knitted 2 scarves already and seemingly her tension is very good and she's getting lovely compliments from everybody who sees them. So she said, you have to talk to this lady, Irene Nell. So that's why we're talking to you, Irene.
Oh, that's brilliant, yeah. You know, because it's really an art that's dying out.
Yes, well, I get a sense that it's coming back in and I get a sense that a lot of people took to it during lockdown. Maybe I'm wrong. Now your story is you're in Tuam.
Yeah.
You live on your own.
I do.
Yeah. You're not originally from Ireland. Where are you originally from?
From South Africa, but I came here for work and stayed.
Okay.
Lovely country.
How long ago did you arrive?
2002.
Okay, so 18 years you've been here.
Yeah.
And you're sort of... You're immune compromised, as people are saying. So you have to cocoon.
I have to, yes. And the only time I can really go out is when I go for shopping, you know, to get food. And I only do that twice a month, if that. And then I just cook and freeze my food, so I don't need to go out as often, you know.
So you only get out of your house twice a month?
Yes. Twice a month it would be to do the big shop, and I've got a very nice neighbour that gives me a lift to Lidl or Aldi or whatever.
Yes.
And, you know, then I sit in the back of his car, so he's driving me around like a taxi.
Right, okay.
And we both wear masks, you know.
Yes,
he's also isolating, obviously, because he's even older than I am.
Right.
But he's a gentleman, you know, and he takes me to Lidl if I need to get food. So it's very helpful. And once a month, then I do a big cook and I freeze.
What would
you
cook?
And the rest of the time I stay at home.
What would you cook?
Oh, I do. I would do like, you know, now for the winter time, it would be curries and cottage pie. Things that freeze as well, you know?
Yeah.
So, and soup, a lot of soup.
Yeah. So when you'd go to Aldi or Lidl or whatever, you'd pick up some wool. And there's been a lot has been made over the last couple of weeks about essential and non-essential.
And
fair enough, certain shops are giving out that other shops are bending the rules a little bit. As a result, what has happened to you?
Well, you see, because I'm on pension, obviously, you know, you always turn that dime around twice before you give it out. So, and their wool is not just brilliant wool, it's also very good value for money. And I've been buying from them for years. And they were actually on Sunday past, they were going to have a beautiful wool on the shelves. And I even asked a friend of mine in Galway if she could go in and get it for me because there's no Aldi in Tuam. And she did and told me, no, it's, you know, they removed it all. They're not selling it because it's apparently it's non-essential. But, you know, a lot of elderly people do crafts.
Yes.
To keep their hands busy, let alone now in the lockdown, and, you know, we can't go out anywhere. We can't have people around or even visit people. So, and I make use of public transport now because of my health problems, and I can't even do that.
Get
out of the house.
You describe your knitting as a therapeutic hobby.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, tell us what it does for you.
It's therapeutic. It keeps my hands busy because if I don't keep my hands busy, I get very anxious, you know. And with my health issues, it can cause depression because I get a lot of, you know, chronic pain.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's an awful thing to live with. But if I have my knitting or my crocheting in my hands, I'm happy. I don't care about the fact that I can't go anywhere because that just creating something, you know, beautiful from a ball of wool is something that gives me that kind of satisfaction. I don't even do it for myself. I would knit and give it away.
And do you charge for it?
No, I don't.
No.
I don't charge for it because it's a passion. It's something I do and I love giving away to people, you know, especially people who need it. And I've often, people have given wool to me, you know, people from my knitting group that I used to be in before the lockdown. And I would just use that wool and I would knit something with it and give it away.
Mm.
Because, you know, one kind gesture needs to, you know, it needs to be forwarded to someone
else. To knock
on
effect, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's funny because we had this chat over the weekend. I was talking to Jenny, who's my wife, who's now knitting. And to me, it's an example of productive mindfulness because
it is.
Yeah,
it is. It's you know, it keeps you busy, and especially the patterns that I do. When I do an Aran pattern, you have to really concentrate on what you're doing. So your mind is busy with what you're doing. You're not thinking of the lockdown or the fact that you can't go out or the fact that you can't have friends over.
Mm.
You know, you're busy with what's in front of you. And that's the most important thing now in this time where everyone's suffering and there's so many people, you know, living alone.
Yeah, and in so many of these books, they're telling us we have to live in the now, in the present.
Yeah,
exactly. And when you're knitting, you've no choice but to do that.
But to do that, exactly.
Yes, yeah. So what are you calling on? What I'm supposed to do now, I asked Leo Varadkar, it is the only activity that keeps me sane and content. What am I living for if I have no family, no friends, nowhere to go, and the only hobby I love is taken away from me?
I was hoping he would see that and not just think of the, you know, not just see the whole picture in front of him, but he should think of people, elderly people, people that stuck inside that now don't even have a craft they love that can keep them busy and mental, you know, keep them sane.
Yes.
That they can't even do that because it's seen as non-essential.
I was thinking that about bookshops as well, you know, because people who love reading.
Exactly.
And that's their escape.
This is what people are doing now. They're either reading or they, you know, making crafts.
Yeah.
And it's especially the elderly people that would be most affected by this.
And what about buying online, Irene?
Well, I haven't even tried that yet, but you know how expensive it is, right?
Yes.
And it's extremely expensive because apart from the wool being more expensive, it's also the fact that you have to pay for, the handling of it and the delivery of it.
Yeah. Now, we had a lady on during lockdown called Una, and she was knitting things for a hospice out in Blanchardstown. And we put out a call, and we were inundated with offers of wool for her, because what happens oftentimes when people start a new hobby, they go at it, with gusto at the start, and then for whatever reason life takes over and they're left with balls of wool that they're not going to use. And I would imagine a lot of people listening are in that situation. So is there any type of wool in particular that you're after?
Not really, because I knit with everything. You know, I knit double knit. I do Aran because I love the Aran patterns.
Yeah.
You know, and I do from baby to adult stuff. So, right. And I crochet blankets and I knit blankets, you know, as well, baby blankets and christening blankets and stuff like that. So anything and everything.
Okay.
You know, if I have it in front of me, I do something with it. It's just, I love creating things.
Because you're looking at a full month without wool now if you don't get your hands on some.
Well, that's the thing. And it's getting to me, you know, because I'm not the type of person that can sit and do nothing.
Okay. Well, people are listening to you now, and I'm sure people have. Niamh outside, for example, has a ball of Aldi wool at home. So she's going to start the ball rolling. Excuse the pun.
Well, that was not what I intended.
No, I know.
I was just speaking up for people my age that love knitting and crocheting.
And I know that. I know that, Irene. I know that. And we ambushed you with this, really, because, you know, you came on for a chat and I'm asking people now if they have wool at home. You didn't put us up to it, so I realise that. So we put out the call. Like, as I say, the last time we were inundated, so if people want to contact the show, ray@rte.ie or 51551 and let us know if they have wool and where they are in the country, and we might be able to arrange a pickup from somebody else, and we'll get you knitting again as soon as possible.
Whoa,
Irene,
that's brilliant. Yeah. And if they could just give their name, so I can write them a letter and at least thank them, that would be brilliant.
Yes. you're lovely. And you see, you know, closing down the middle aisle in Aldi would seem like, you know, that's not going to affect anybody too much. But here you are talking to me and
writing
to the Irish Times. Yeah.
Not everyone was taken into consideration, because that's the art and craft section as well.
Yes.
And not just for me and the elderly, but for kids.
Yes, you're right.
You know?
Yeah.
When the schools were closed, if the schools were closed now, it would have been terrible for the kids.
Yeah. Okay, Irene, we'll talk again before the end of the week.
Right, thank you very much
mind
for
yourself.
That. I really appreciate your
mind
call.
Mind yourself. Bye now. Bye.
No,
bye. Bye. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Tell me, I need to give another call out for our quiz of today. We're looking for two people to come on and answer questions on the 2nd of November from over the years. And we've a great prize in the K-Club for two nights for two people to give away. And if you want to be involved, here is the qualifying question. Ireland lost to France in their final Six Nations rugby game this weekend. In what city was that match played? 1850 715 900. That's 1850 715 900. Loads of offers of wool for Irene. We'll get to that. But while we're talking about Ireland losing to France, we better say hello to Conor Murray. How are you doing, Conor?
How's it going? How are you?
There's a little bit of a delay there, so we'll do our best, I suppose, with this. You've just been announced as ambassador for Down Syndrome Ireland, and you're asking people to run, jog, walk, cycle or swim a distance of 100 kilometres in 21 days. And to get involved with the 21-day fundraising challenge for Down Syndrome Ireland, you can go to downsyndrome.ie, downsyndrome.ie, and we'll give that another mention as well. Conor, what was the atmosphere like in the dressing room after Saturday's game?
It was okay. Not great, to be honest with you. It was plain and simple. It was a game that we didn't perform well enough when we were confident we could. So a quiet dressing room, a kind of a frustrated one. So it was one of those days that didn't go to plan, unfortunately, because you know there was a trophy that could have been won. It didn't go our way, but we'll go again.
Is there a contagion about mistakes on those big days?
I don't know. I think do you know what it was? It was slippy. You know, it was slippy for France too, and they looked after the ball a lot better. But I think you know, as soon as there's one or two early in the game, now we did have a good first half, but I suppose as soon as players see one or two happening, then you might get a little bit cagey about yourself making one, and it might just make people a little bit apprehensive. I only watched the game back this morning, so yeah. You know, there's loads of reasons why the game didn't go to plan. But I don't think we're afraid to make mistakes. We've got a license to play the game as we see it, you know, obviously within our game plan. But we just made too many errors at the weekend. I think speaking to a few players afterwards, we'd love another crack off it. Yes, and you know, cut out a few errors.
You had the beatings of them there. What's it like in Stade de France with no crowd?
It's very strange, especially I suppose the Stade de France that you're used to. You know, the French crowds like to make it a bit of a carnival atmosphere. It's always very enjoyable to play in France, and running out to an empty stadium in a game where there's a Six Nations trophy on the line, and it's very, very eerily quiet. Was very strange. And I know we're a little bit used to it now with having played a few games behind closed doors, but you know, the build up to the game felt really normal, and you know, you kind of half expected a crowd to appear, but unfortunately the times we live in, it wasn't to be. But hopefully soon. We don't know when but we miss the fans for sure.
You probably noticed it yourself, but I was telling my daughter that sounds like a club game from years ago down in Kildare there, where there'd be only three spectators because you could hear every word you were saying on the pitch.
I know, and some of it's a bit colourful at times. But you can. I think it's maybe it's an interesting way to watch a game. You can hear more of the players talk, and you can hear the hits a bit better. You know what I mean. So that's one positive of it. You know, you'd much prefer to hear the stadium roaring and that. But different, definitely different.
Yeah, you can hear the crunches. You can indeed. So you're an ambassador for Down Syndrome Ireland. Have you got any direct connection, Conor?
My dad worked with DSB for years, and he was big into photography, and he would have been a photographer for the Christmas parties, and you know, at times there would have been kids of the workers who had Down syndrome, and you know, spending time with them throughout the years, and again with my dad being involved in the Tour de Munster cycle and their affiliation with Down syndrome for a long time, having been at a lot of events, this was a natural fit for me to help kind of push the 21-day challenge and things like that. So there's a connection there over the years. Again, like having spent time around, you know, the volunteers or the kids or adults with Down syndrome. You know, they're a special group, and you know, they need a bit of support. Again, like a lot of charities now, they need support, but this is something that is naturally close to my heart. So hopefully I can help push it along a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's very doable, but yet it's an achievement, you know. So it's, you can jog, walk, cycle, or swim a distance of 100 kilometres in 21 days. Downsyndrome.ie. Are you doing it yourself?
I will do it as best as I can now with the day job. There'll be times where.
But you'd probably clock up the
kilometres and train. Yeah,
exactly.
I can get the GPS unit to measure me off.
You were back home for the first time over the weekend in how long?
Back home first time in about 2.5 weeks. Yeah, which isn't too long away from home. But we're due to go back to camp on Thursday, and I think we'll be away for 4 weeks again. So it was. It's nice to get home for a couple of days of. Just your home surroundings. Now we can't go out too much, as the same as anyone else in the country. But it's nice to be home all the same for a brief period.
So did you cook last night? I believe you're a bit of a dab hand in the kitchen.
Do you know what, Ray? I was a bit too tired last night. Right. Too tired and a bit grumpy. After the game to cook. So I'll be honest with you, I didn't. I got a takeaway. A little treat. So tonight, though, now I've stopped feeling sorry for myself. I've dusted. I've watched the game back. Reviewed it. I'm over it. So I'll head to the head to the supermarket soon and get some grub, and we'll do something in the kitchen tonight. Yeah.
What's it going to be, do you think?
It'll be on the barbecue, and I like the Kamado Joe, like to fire that up. So it'll be the barbecue. I don't know what it'll be. Probably some steaks or something. We'll see what we have there.
Nice.
It'll be something on the barbecue, I think.
You got a new addition during the lockdown. A puppy.
Yeah. We did indeed. We got a puppy. So yeah, two new additions. Joanna moved in fully at the start of lockdown, which has been brilliant. And she has slowly grinded me down to getting a puppy. So we have a puppy called Kevin for the last, we've had him for about 2 months now. Right. Yeah. I know Kevin, I don't realise I'm saying a human name anymore, but yeah, Kevin is her dog's name.
Right.
No reason behind it.
And I'm interested, you know, I imagine a lot of people had to have that chat at the beginning of lockdown, you know. If you're going out with somebody, you know, do you move in? Because if you don't move in, we're going to be kept apart. And then are we ready to move in?
Yeah. Absolutely. No, thankfully we were planning it anyway. Joanna was due to move in at the end of the Six Nations. The Six Nations, we only finished 2 days ago, but back in March. So it was due to, it was happening anyway, but she only had a weekend bag. She was over for, I think, the Italy game. With a weekend bag, so that's all she had for 2 or 3 months until we got over to London to get her the rest of her stuff out of the apartment. So,
right.
But yeah, luckily we did it, and it's been brilliant. But I imagine it could have been an awkward conversation for couples who have just started going out.
Yes, yeah.
Whether they do that,
Will you explain?
A friend actually did that. Yeah,
right.
He's gone out with a girl.
Well, we better not start a story there just in case. We better not tell somebody else's story.
No, God, no, it's going great.
Great. Listen, will you explain to people about the Autumn Nations Cup that's coming up?
Yeah, so we're back in camp on Thursday. We're playing Wales in two weeks' time, pretty much, just under 2 weeks. And we've 4 games in total in the Autumn Nations Cup, so back into camp. It's great, I think, because usually if you finish a tournament, if you win, it's great, but if you lose, you're only mad to get another chance to get out and play. So thankfully, we get another chance in a couple of weeks to, you know, put a few wrongs right after the French game. Like I said, we were disappointed with the way it went. So hopefully we get a chance to get out there and perform and get back on track.
Okay, well, good luck on that. And once again, downsyndrome.ie, and Connor wants you to get involved in the 21-day fundraising challenge, 100 kilometres in 21 days. You can run it, jog it, walk it, cycle it, swim it, whatever you like, crawl it. Connor, thanks for taking our call. Mind yourself.
Cheers. Thanks, Emil. Thanks, Ray.
Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
There's lots and lots of wool about. Jill says, I would love to send wool in the post to this lovely lady. I'm a crafter myself, so is my mum Mary. Please send on an address. That's Jill. And Melissa says, I live in Claremorris and there's an Aldi there. I noticed last night that they have wool. I pass through Tuam every day, so I'm happy to pick it up and drop it into Irene. That's a lovely offer. Melissa, I'm happy to send this lady a bag of yarn to help her through, says Fran. And that's Fran Ryan. And Tony is back from Lipton's and Clonus. He's going to send 10 balls of wool to Irene. I have some wool here in County Clare, says Christine. I'm back knitting. I can't explain how it makes me feel. Lockdown, I take no notice of the long evenings. I make blankets for cancer patients in Cork and the children in Bumbleance. I finished my first jumper last weekend. I'm only 48. Some of my friends think it's silly and old fashioned, but I really don't care. Aaron is my next challenge. All I can say is give it a try. P.S. I need the wool. It'll have to keep me going till shops open again. That's that person unnamed. I didn't hear the lady on the radio. My mum Sandra called me. I have loads. I can post her. I'm de-stashing at the moment. De-stashing, that's the first time I've heard that phrase from Aisling there. We'll be in touch with everyone who has offered wool to Irene during the show, and we'll be on to them after the show today. Connor Pope is on the line. How are you doing, Connor?
Hi, Ray. How are you getting on?
Good. And yourself?
I'm good now. Staring out at the lashing rain. It's November.
You sound a bit down in yourself, Connor.
No, all is good. All is good.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Right, this came into pricewatch.rt.ie. I do a lot of shopping on websites based in the UK and I've done for many years. I do try to support Irish businesses, but sometimes the prices and ranges make it impossible for me to shop locally. But what's going to happen in January? This person wants to know if the UK leaves the EU and there's no deal in place. Will prices climb? Will I still have the same choices?
Yeah, do you know, this is an interesting question. I'll tell you why, because it really crystallises the impact that Brexit is going to have on an awful lot of people in a very immediate way. Now, it's always possible that Boris Johnson and Michel Barnier might pull it out of the bag and there might be a deal done between now and the end of December. But if there isn't a deal done, and if the UK does crash out of the European Union without a deal, it's going to create a huge amount of confusion and uncertainty on almost every single level. OK, so one of the key areas is going to be in online shopping. Now, I completely dispute what this person says when they say there isn't the same range to be found on Irish sites. And I also think that in many cases, the prices are comparable, too. And I think that's one of the things that I know that RTE has been doing it and the Irish Times has been doing it, pushing people to shop locally and shop online from Irish sites in the weeks ahead, because it's one of the very few things we can do to help businesses who are in a terrible state as a result of the current lockdown. But leaving all of that aside, to answer the question, we don't know what's going to happen between now and the end of December, but there isn't that much time left to make a deal. And if no deal is reached, it's going to almost certainly mean that people will be paying more and substantially more for shopping on UK-based websites within the next 8 or 10 weeks. Now, even the government has said that if there is no deal, duty and VAT costs will apply if you order from a UK-based website, just as they apply if you order from the US or from China.
Right.
Because the UK will officially become what's known as a third country. Now, the way that works is that if you buy something for less than €22, you're exempt from all duties and taxes. Or if you get a gift item worth less than €45, you're exempt. So, like, to be honest, you could probably buy an item, say it was a gift for yourself, and that would take your ceiling up to €45. But other than that, you will have to pay taxes and duties. And all of the delivery companies, be it on Post, be it DPD, or who, all of those, they will be charged with ensuring that you don't get your parcel until you pay the required taxes. So it is going to see prices rise. But there's a whole lot more to consider than that, because even if prices were to climb by 20%, and this is, you might be buying off somebody on Amazon.uk, Amazon.co.uk or eBay or Topshop or any site that's based in the UK. Not only that, if you're going to return them, it's going to be a pain, to be honest, because you're going to have to fill in customs declaration forms when you're sending the parcel back. So let's say you buy yourself a nice jumper, Ray. You try it on and you realise it's just a little bit too small, and you decide to send it back. In the old days, you just whack it in the post, stick on the return sticker that they'd have, and you're good to go. In the future, you might have to fill in, as I say, the customs declaration form. But there's even more to it than that, because under EU law, and we've talked about this in the past, the EU has been incredibly good at empowering consumers. And it doesn't matter if we're talking about roaming charges, because remember, the roaming charges used to be an obscenity when people made a phone call from Dublin to Paris or from Malta to Galway. But it was horrendous. But the EU brought the mobile phone operators to heel. And the EU has also mandated that consumers who shop online with EU-based websites have way more rights than consumers who shop in-store, which makes it really attractive. So if you buy that jumper and you decide that it fits you perfectly, but you don't like the colour, you can send it back to the shop online at for no penalty within 14 days.
Before we carry on, Connor, I don't wear jumpers. Just so you know.
Wait a minute, where's your jumper?
I find they age me. But anyway, carry on, go on. Sorry.
Okay, well, let's say it's one of those tweed caps. Because they're not aging at all. Whatever it is, right? Whatever it is. The thing is, it doesn't matter what it is. If the UK leaves the European Union and there is no kind of agreement in place as to how trade will happen, well, then you will have exactly the same consumer rights shopping on a UK-based website as you would have if you were shopping on a Chinese-based website or an American-based website. And that's to say you don't have any rights at all. So all of those rights to return the products within 14 days are all of the rights you have in terms of redress if the product isn't as advertised or as described, all stuff, that will all go as well. And I think it's something that people should be kind of focusing on, because I know that with so much going on in the world in terms of the US elections and COVID and everything else, it's the small little details of Brexit
that people are missing
that could really, really infuriate people and make life more complicated. Now, having said that, I want to go back to the top of what I was saying.
Now, hold on.
There are loads of websites in Ireland.
Hold that there for a moment, because I want to come back to you, but I do have to take a commercial break before 4 o'clock, and we'll have 2 minutes the other side of that. Hold on.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
We're talking to Conor Pope about Brexit just before we go to Noakt. Conor, if there is a no-deal Brexit, does it not provide an opportunity for Irish retailers to fill the void?
100%. And I think that's a really important step, because the crisis of the COVID crisis has pushed huge numbers of people online, but it's also pushed huge numbers of local businesses online. And an awful lot of the companies that I've spoken to that are now operating online based in Ireland are saying they may be 5 or 6 years ahead of where they thought they might have been at the start of 2020, because they had no choice but to really move online. The government is giving people grants to build their websites. So this is a real opportunity for Irish people, to Irish businesses, small businesses, to move online and to get their products to a much wider audience. And I should also point out that, like, it seems unimaginable that this no-deal scenario will be reached, because none of the retailers in the UK want this. All of them want to be able to do the same business with Ireland and France and Holland and all the other countries in the European Union as they were able to do, or as they're able to do today. So none of them want these impediments to their trade. So you'd have to imagine that at some point the people in the corridors of power in Westminster will see a degree of sense, and maybe a deal can be reached at the very last minute. That's what we all have to hope for.
Right. Conor, thanks very much. And just I'll point people towards your article today. Not that we're being duped when we go to the supermarket, but we're being manipulated slightly. And you can find
absolutely.
Yes, you can find out all about that in Conor's article in the Irish Times today. Thanks, Conor. Talk to you next week. Mind yourself. Bye. Anish Toshin, I'm the Fianna Skelton and Noakt Dillon, Maura de Walish. Maura de Walish. Thank you very much. 5 on 5 on radio.rte. Now, 2.5 weeks ago, we had James McGill on, and he spoke to us from his hospital bed in Beaumont, and he's been in there since February. He was diagnosed with cancer of the brain, and he was talking to us because his friends had set up a GoFundMe page, and their aim was to get James home to his house for Christmas. And the reason they needed the money was because of James' situation. They needed to adapt the house, so he has to live downstairs. They had to widen all the doorways to make sure the wheelchair could fit through. You've heard this story before. Anyway, so he was on and he spoke very strongly to us about his conditions and about his hopes and dreams. And he had a great sense of humour and very positive despite everything he's been through. Imagine, he's been in hospital since February and he was deprived of what normally would comfort people in hospital, as in, visitors. Anyway, the good news is that he has topped 100,000, which was their goal, their target, which means that James will be home for Christmas, which is great news. And thanks to everybody who went to his GoFundMe page and helped him out. And we must talk to him when he gets home and see how he's getting on. And thanks as well to everybody who's offered wool for Irene Nell in Tuam. Because they've closed down the middle aisle in her local Aldi, and she can't buy wool, and wool is her saviour. It keeps her sane. So loads of people, and we'll get on to everybody after the show about that. And Sheila's beyond, she says, after listening to your interview on Friday in relation to the documentary My Octopus Teacher, my husband and I watched it Friday night. It was brilliant, and we would recommend it everyone to watch it. At Sheila Roach. So that's a documentary on Netflix called My Octopus Teacher, which comes highly recommended from Sheila and from here. Now, here we go. Yes, sir. It's time for our quiz of today. 10 questions on today's date, which is the 2nd of November. And our winner today will go along with a guest for a two-night stay at the K Club. Breakfast on both mornings, plus 3 hours and lunch in the new K Golf World, where they have high-tech golfing simulators. Sounds very exciting. You can find out more at kgolfworld.ie. But who will win it? We've Margaret Flanagan in Clonmel. How are you doing, Margaret?
Hi, Ray.
Good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you too.
How are you?
I'm fine, Ray. I've just got my dinner on cooking, so I'm delighted just to sit down here and have a chat.
What are you having this evening?
We're having a split lentil dal curry.
Nice. Vegetarian?
Yeah.
Right. What's in that now?
There's curry powder.
Yeah.
Cumin.
Yes.
Paprika.
Mm.
Fresh ginger.
Nice.
Onion, garlic, red lentils, coconut milk.
Yes.
A courgette.
Nice. Great.
And a few pints of stock.
Great. And do you do your own stock or do you get it from a cube?
Oh, no, I make my own.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I used to do it, but the smell of the chicken around the house, just, I don't know. There's
something. I freeze it, you see. I make a big batch at a time and I freeze it.
Aha. And chicken stock, would it be?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Fair juice to you. And that sounds delicious. And I was reading an article over the weekend that we need to get more ginger, fresh ginger into our diets.
Oh, absolutely. It's just like, it's nice to get away from meat, like, you know?
Yes, it is, yes. I see here that you walk 5K every day.
We do, yeah. Myself and my beloved, we try and get at least 5K now since the lockdown came in.
Right.
But we can't go to the gym.
Does he have a name?
Pardon?
Does your beloved have a name?
Oh, Frank.
Frank, okay. How are you, Frank? Frank and Morgan Clonmel. Okay, you're up against Anne Reardon in Bandon in County Cork. How are you doing, Anne?
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Good. Say hello to Margaret there.
Nice to talk to you. Hi, Margaret. How are you?
Hello, Anne. Best of luck now, Anne.
Yeah.
Same to you.
So Bandon, is that, that's Graham Norton country, thereabouts, is it?
That's right, yes.
Do you ever see him during the summer when he's tottering around?
I don't, yeah. I think he spends his summer down in near Bantry there.
Yeah.
But he went to school in Bandon Grammar School here. My sons went there as well.
Aha, right.
Yeah.
How are you finding lockdown?
Yeah, it's okay. You know, I'm just taking it day by day.
Yeah.
We like to go swimming out in Shidani, you know, to the pool, and
yeah.
Of course that closed down.
Yes, yeah.
But we actually saw you there last year, I think.
No, I used to go there all the time, maybe twice a year. And then when the children came along, it was just too far to travel in the car.
Yeah, it's a long journey down the road.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You just can't do it, like, you know, if it's a Friday evening or something, it's 5 hours. You know.
Oh, my God, I know.
Yeah.
I remember long ago we used to go across to France on our holidays with our kids, you know.
Yeah.
And drive all to different campsites around France. And then we drove to Spain. And, my God, you know, the journey.
Yeah.
Like, we went in the ferry, like, well.
Yeah, and then they'd be in the back of the car going, she's touching my skin.
Exactly.
Separate.
And then
my husband
would say, stop the car now and you're getting
out. I'll just throw you out of the car here. You're never going to do that because you were,
no.
You know, 15 miles outside Paris on a dark night. Open the door and put you out here. So what are you having for dinner?
We're having pork steak.
Oh, nice. Pork steak.
Well, you know, maybe you call it pork fillet.
Right.
You know,
and will you have a bit of applesauce with that?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah,
lovely,
yeah, exactly.
lovely. And potatoes, peas?
Potatoes, yeah. Yeah, but I put mushrooms and I put a bit of ginger in with it as well.
Oh, dear. There you go.
I just found out, like, ginger is very good. For circulation.
It is very good.
My circulation isn't great.
Cinnamon. Cinnamon is very good for circulation as well, they say.
Is it? Yeah. Turmeric. I know.
This is great.
The cinnamon. Oh, yeah. I put that in the porridge in the morning.
That's it. There's a great one pot roast there for Tui there if you're looking for something else. It's pork chops, potatoes, pears. There's one other ingredient, another pea, and then there's rosemary and garlic, and just put it into the oven for 40 minutes. I think it's a Jamie Oliver thing, and it's just delicious because pears work with
pears,
pork as well.
That's interesting. Yeah. No, I must try that.
Yeah, there you go. Try that. Okay. Sorry.
Thanks, Ray.
Right, okay. So, Margaret, good luck to you both, Margaret and Anne. You're playing for that two-night stay in the K Club.
Lovely.
Okay, let's get some tension going. Okay, five questions each.
Thanks.
Yeah. Margaret, your first question is this. On this day in 1953... Pakistan became an Islamic Republic. What are the two main colours on the flag of Pakistan? Red and black or green and white?
I think it's red and black.
No, it's the other one. It's green and white. There you go. Now, Anne, similar question for you. It's early days, Margaret. Don't fret. On this day in 1877, Joseph DePiro, founder of the Missionary Society of St. Paul, was born in Malta. What are the two main colours on the Maltese flag? Red and white or blue and yellow?
Red and white.
It is red and white. Okay. Margaret, your second question is an audio one. Have a listen to this.
This is called adding. If I have two beans and then I add two more beans, what do I have? Some beans.
On this day in 1989, Blackadder goes forth, the final episode of the TV series were broadcast. You heard an actor there. What's his name? He played the part of Edmund Blackadder in the series.
I didn't even hear it. Was it John Cleese?
No. Rowan Atkinson, he also played Mr. Bean.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you know him, yeah. Okay, Anne, yours is an audio question as well. Have a listen to this.
I can't believe I even thought of getting back together with you. We are so over.
Fine by me!
On this day in 1966, David Schwimmer, American actor, was born in New York. You just heard him there in Friends. What was the name of the character he played in Friends?
Ross?
Ross is the correct answer. Well done. It came from the recesses of your brain there. It's correct. Mary, come on. We want to get you on the scoreboard here. Here we go. Margaret. This day in 1976, who was elected president of the United States, defeating incumbent Gerald Ford? Was it Jimmy Carter or Ronald Reagan? So, elected in 1976 on this day, Jimmy Carter or Ronald Reagan?
But the Jimmy Carter.
It was Jimmy Carter. You're on the scoreboard, Margaret. Well done.
Thank God.
Anne, your question. On this day in 2004, who was re-elected as President of the United States, defeating John Kerry? Was it Bill Clinton or George W. Bush?
Bill Clinton.
It was George W. Bush.
All right.
Mm. Okay. Right, Margaret, you're on one, and Anne, you're on two. So it's tight enough. Question number four, Margaret, is another audio question for you. Have a listen. So on this day in 1983, that song was number one. Can you name the singer? Uptown Girl. Margaret.
Oh, Janie Mac.
No, it wasn't Janie Mac.
No, I don't know. Great.
No, sorry. It was Billy Joel.
Oh.
Right, now you're not out of it yet, but if Anne answers this question correctly, you are. Okay, so we'll see how Anne goes. It's an audio one as well, Anne. Have a listen. On this day in 1984, that song was number one. Can you name the group?
Oh my God. I know the song, all right. 1984.
Yeah. Freedom. Who sang it? No? Yeah? No? No? Guess?
1984. No.
No,
I can't, sorry.
Wham. Wham is the answer. Right. Margaret.
Yes, Ray.
A sliver of hope. Okay, I'm just looking at the question. It's a sliver. It's a tiny little sliver of hope.
Oh, you made it very hard, Rowan.
No, it's David's fault. You can blame David. If you get this right, then you're drawing with Anne, and if she doesn't get the final question correct, then we're into a tiebreak situation. On this day in 2011, which prodigious Portuguese striker scored his 100th goal for Real Madrid in his 105th game for the club?
What year was that, Ray?
2011. So, Portuguese striker, he scored his 100th goal for Real Madrid. So, the most famous Portuguese player at the moment, I suppose.
Was it Ronaldo?
Yes, it was Ronaldo! Whoa, look at this! Back of the net for you, Margaret. Anne, now, we're drawing, but you have a question in hand, and if you answer this correctly, that goal or that correct answer won't be enough to save Margaret. Here it is. Good luck with this. On this day in 1978, which TV channel was launched with a special opening night gala broadcast live from the Cork Opera House?
Which TV?
Channel was launched with a special opening night gala broadcast live from the Cork Opera House.
RTE2?
Is the correct answer.
Oh.
Well done. You're a bit sad that Margaret lost as well. I know you are.
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
Margaret, listen, we're going to send you out a Ray D'Arcy mug.
Oh, thank you. Well done, Anne. Yeah, thanks very much.
You're great fun, Margaret. Enjoy the dal.
Yeah.
Okay, good luck.
Thank you very much.
Now keep taking the ginger. See you, Margaret. Yeah. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Anne, you're off to the K Club.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. I'm delighted.
And
great.
You play a bit of golf, don't you?
Well, I try, yes.
Yes,
Ray,
well,
yeah.
There you go. You can yeah, test
when
out.
I, when I heard the K Club coming on, I said, I'll chance ringing you. And I tried a few times, couldn't get through. And then I tried once more and got through.
Well, there you are. And here you are. And you won. See you, Anne. Well done.
Thanks
see
you. Very mind much. Yourself. It's
bye.
Great to talk to you, Ray.
Good to
thanks
talk
a
to
million.
You. Bye, bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Or 51551. Now, Being the Super Vet, How Animals Saved My Life is the new book by Professor Noel Fitzpatrick. And Noel joins us on the line. How are you doing, Noel?
Hello, Ray. How are you today?
I am good. I'm all the better because I'm talking to you now, Noel.
And you sound great.
Thank you very
much.
Is
the weather good in where you are today?
No, it's not. It's brutal. As Dustin would say,
well,
it's
look,
brutal.
Yeah. Look, we're all lucky to be in it,
yes,
any weather.
Yeah, we are. I'm looking at the picture on the cover of the book, and it's you, Kira, and Ricochet.
Yes.
Will you introduce the listeners to Kira and Ricochet, if you would?
I will introduce the stars of the show, I yes, certainly will.
Yeah, yes.
Ricochet is a beautiful year-and-a-half Maine Coon cat who prances across my desk every day, nefariously sends emails, and accidentally cuts off the telephone to people when I don't want to speak to them, like the day before yesterday. He has reached down his big panda paw and grabbed my collar when I wasn't feeling so well after I broke my neck and was feeling sad, and he had a kind of a growth tumour type thing growing underneath his brain, which I took out, but anything I have done for him, he has repaid me 1 million times with a big purr and a whisker of love in my chin every morning.
Right.
And that is Ricochet. Welcome
right.
to the show, Ricochet.
Right. And Ricochet was a gift from
my girlfriend Michaela.
She knows, you know, what they say, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. Not with
no.
No,
the way to a man's heart is to give him an everlasting companion of unconditional love.
There you go. Yes.
And in case we run out of time to introduce Kira, the really important, the real girl in my life, the love of my life. She's a border terrier, and she's been in my life 13 years through all the ups and downs, Ray. Ins and outs, my best friend, my companion, my confidant, the person who listens to me when I'm sad, when I'm happy, when I'm up, when I'm down, and has been there in all the constants of building this practice. And of course, you'll probably come to this in the next few minutes. The book is about her, and
yes.
The very end of the book is very poignantly about her.
Yeah, because you nearly lost her. I just to give people an idea of how much Kira means to you. Can I read just a paragraph there from page 415?
Up to you, Ray.
Right, okay.
I haven't even read page 415.
I love her more than I can describe. A deep connectedness that I can only feel and can't adequately express. Kira was 13 years old on the 16th of September 2020. We had a wonderful snuggle before lights out with her snoring beside my bed. As I kissed her on the top of her head, she licked my chin and I felt a profound sense of calm and peace. That she was my anchor, my rock, the love of my life. She kept me safe day and night. We slept soundly. That's it, really. That's
it is.
You and Kira. And how did you nearly lose her?
Gosh, that's emotional. I haven't heard that read out loud. Thank you.
Oh.
She's a wonderful little dog. And I think what dogs do is they tap into your soul like an emotional stent and bypass all the nonsense that we portray to human beings. They're wonderful. They're wonderful furry balls of unconditional love. So to answer your question, I was walking out the back of the practice Friday 5 weeks ago, and a van came around the corner way too fast, didn't see me, didn't see her, nearly took me out. I took a step back, she took a step forward, and 1 second later I was hearing her pelvis explode underneath the wheel of the car. So I was 2 feet away, she bit down on my hand, and I tried to pull her head away from the wheel, and I can honestly tell you, Ray, it was the most traumatic experience of my life. I thought she was dead, my whole life flashed in front of me, and I just screamed to the heavens, and I just thought I lost my best friend in that moment of fate. And then for the last 5 weeks, we've been battling to save her life. And she's had multiple surgeries and blood transfusions, etc. And God bless her. She is getting stronger each day now. Thank you so much to all of the people with our good wishes. I would say that when I graduated in 1990, this saving her would not have been possible. And thank God it is now. And thank God we have those choices.
Yeah. And you talk in your last book, you talk about this book, about the emotional connection that the family have with the pet, and sometimes you need to keep them out of, you know, certain situations because they're too emotional. But that was you then. This time, you were.
Yeah. Well, this book is. I started off writing last Christmas, and of course things took a very different turn. First, I broke my neck, and then coronavirus hit, and then I was physically locked down, and of course we were all locked down. Mm. And then lots of other things happened, and then in the end that happened. So it became a book more about the journey of everybody rather than the journey of me. It's not so much a memoir as a reflection of all the families and the animals that come to see me and what lessons we can learn from them. And I took the two words integrity and care and took the first letters of each of those as the titles for the chapter. So nowness and truth and empathy and compassion and appreciation, respect, all the things that animals teach us. But your point is very well made. To my left-hand side in my consulting room are two chairs upon which people sit and their lives unravel in front of them every day of the week. And I thought I walked in their shoes, except I didn't. I empathized from the outside. Now, for the first time in 30 years as a vet, I can truly empathize from the inside, and I get it. I mean, I got it before, but now I get it.
That's what people would have said. You were very empathetic. That's why you're so popular on SuperVet, and that's why people love you, because you are empathetic. So now you're even more empathetic. The thing about the book, which I really felt for you, because you just finished a tour, you were very tired, you landed back into the office, and then this white envelope from the RCVS arrived. So four of your fellow vets had complained about something you'd done on SuperVet, your treatment of a tortoise.
Yeah, so that is an incident where I tried to give a tortoise called Hermes three bionic limbs because a rat had chewed them off in hibernation. And he was a lovely little chap, and he, I felt, deserved a chance. He was going to live 45 years. He could outlive me, you know, in terms of longevity of his life. His mum was a very responsible lady, and she is a human nurse, works in cancer herself. So she understood that the line in the sand was that if he was suffering, you know, we would need to put him to sleep. And I took consultations from experts and exotic species experts and so on, and felt that together as a team, we were trying to do our very best. But clearly, four people who are veterinary surgeons disagreed with that. And the point I'm making in the book is not so much about the nuances of that case, but the nuances of having the profession define what over-treatment is, I think is really important. Is it over-treatment to have a one-day course and then cut the shin bone to fix a cruciate ligament? Or is it over-treatment to have 20 years of experience of joint replacement and then to do a complex joint replacement? What is over-treatment? Yeah. And then define that, and define if society wants animal medicine to move forward. And if we don't, then human medicine is going to move forward anyway. Animals give human medicine their drugs and implants through experimental animal models. So I just don't think it's fair or right that they don't get the solutions.
Yeah. When you opened up that and you realised what was going on, that must have been like a kick in the stomach to you.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. I am aware, Ray, that you recently kind of spearheaded a book in which my sister has written a story called A Page from Your Life.
Yes, yes.
And my understanding
Your
from...
Your sister's in it, is she?
Yeah, my sister's one of the authors
right,
in that.
Right, okay. There you go.
And that's for a children's hospice, I believe.
It is. You're right, yes.
She's a wonderful girl, and she helped me a lot during my school days to, you know, look up the dictionary, like my mammy. And I'm sure that my mammy, Rita, she may be listening to this show right now, and I love her, and she imbued a great sense of integrity in me, and, you know, doing the right thing, a sense of what the right thing to do is, and the same with Francis and all of us. And to answer your question, yes, it pulled the rug out from under me, but at the end of the day, it inspired the book, because you can put in the drawer all of the bad things that happen to you in life, or you can try and bring them out in the open and hope that somebody else finds light through that integrity. And that is my hope for the book.
Yeah. In parts, it reads like a self-help book, Noel, and I mean that in a very positive way. You talk about nowness, and you compare our ability to live in the now and dogs and cats' ability to live in the now, and they're far better at it, aren't they?
Yes, and it's supposed to read like that because I felt that I didn't really connect with the whole movement of mindfulness because my mind was full all of the time. And so I thought, okay, well, how am I going to translate how I can get through the day with all of these worries and aches and pains and so on, and try and explain that emotional stent that Ricochet and Kira are for me? How do I translate that being in the present? And I try and relay that in the book, in the chapter of nowness and in some other chapters like genuineness and rightness and tenacity. And I say, look, animals teach us all of this if only we will listen. I've said in the book, we spend millions and millions of dollars and pounds, billions, looking for intelligent life on other planets, when all the while that intelligent life is on our sofas and we ignore it. And it can bring us closer to ourselves and closer to the importance of being human, which is why the book is called How Animals Saved My Life.
Mm. It got me thinking, and we don't have time to discuss this, unfortunately, now, but like, we are complex, more complex than a cat or a dog. And the complexity of our brains allows us to develop the technology that you've developed, which saved the lives of cats and dogs. You know, so we have to, I suppose, sacrifice our inability or our ability to be living in the now, do we?
Well, I know that we only have about 30 seconds left,
yes.
But I would say this. Sentience is something that is not unique to us. And just because we have sentience, the ability to feel and need and create, does not mean that other animals don't. An elephant travels 2 days to see the person who died, who saved that elephant. How did the elephant know that?
Okay.
The reality is we need to look after each other, especially in this time of coronavirus. We need to look after our planet and the animals on it, both from a medical perspective and from a broader perspective of global warming and not deracinating species after species. And if we do that, our children will not pay the price of our arrogance. If we don't, they will. And at the end of the day, that's oneness, and that's what the book is all about.
And it's a very good book, and it's a very good read, and it comes highly recommended from here. Being the Super Vet, How Animals Saved My Life. Noel, always great talking to you. Mind yourself.
Ray, it's a deep pleasure. You're a lovely man. God bless you.
Cormac O'Hara and Sarah McNerney are on the way, and we are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Monday evening.
It's the Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.